It's time for the Ultimate Radio Program with Rachel Montgomery on TalkZone Internet Radio, discussing the hot topics of the day, music, entertainment, and more. And now here's your hostess,
The Skirt with a Dirt,
Rachel Montgomery.
Hiya. Now, I'm not really sure how much dirt I'll have today, considering I just ran into the studio. Hello, everyone. This is Rachel Montgomery, and you're listening to The Ultimate on Talk Zone Radio. And I literally just ran in the door, seriously. For all you guys that's been following me this week, you know I've been, like, chasing First Lady Michelle Obama in Chicago all week. Jeez. You know, I'm telling you, it's something about that special mailbag. You know, it just reminds me. Remember a long time ago? You know, it when they used to have this program called The Magic Door. Do you remember that? There's a little acorn guy, and he's come on Sunday morning, and he had like a little ukulele or whatever it is, and he was, you know, sing room zoom zoom room zoom zoom lee 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 ah cha cha, come through the magic door with me and see all the stuff you can see, whatever, right? And you go through the door, and then he had, like, different types of movies, right, or whatever. But he always, at the end, would have some kind of special gift or something to give somebody. And so that's how I feel that my mailbag is like the little, like, acorn thing with the little guy. Because you never know what happens when you open that bag or walk through that door. You don't know what you're going to get. And this particular week, after we went to the Great Chicago Fire Festival, Dave, don't laugh. Don't laugh. The fireworks were great. We're good. Chicago is good with fireworks. I give it to you. Hey, pat us on the back for the fireworks. But those little buildings on the lake, they did not go up. Okay, so for all you guys who you're like overseas or whatever, here's a recap. This past week, Chicago celebrated the Chicago Fire Festival because, according to legend, Mrs. O'Leary's cow kicked over a lantern in the barn and it started the Great Chicago Fire. And the Chicago that you see today has been resurrected from the ashes. The phoenix has risen into what you now see as Chicago. And so last week, to commemorate our wonderful growth and prosperity in Chicago, they decided to have the Great Chicago Fire Festival. Now, I took this as being an offshoot of one of the festivals that we have here in Chicago called Venetian Night, where they have decorated boats on the lake. And it's really beautiful. They have like 50, 60, you know, organizations, and they, you know, they have a certain theme every year. And it's a Chicago tradition. You bring your family out and everything, barbecue and stuff. And I thought, okay, this is one, that was one for the summer. This thing will be one for the fall. Although it was kind of weird as to why we would be burning the city on the lake. But anyways, I'm thinking, okay, it's a party. It's Chicago. We can do this. Okay. 30 to 40,000 people went downtown to Lake Michigan to see the Great Chicago Fire Festival. Okay. They did not go to Oktoberfest for beer and brats and all that. No. They did not go to the Mac and Cheese Festival, because remember, we went to that. No. Mm-mm. They didn't go to that. Mm-mm. They met me at Lake Michigan for the Great Chicago Fire Festival, because we are Chicagoans and we love Chicago and we want to celebrate all of our prosperity, whatever. And we just wanted some, you know, free food. Anyways, we get down there. Nothing burned. Nothing happened. Not only did the displays, they did not, you know, the buildings, they had like 3-foot-story buildings on the lake. They didn't burn. Well, some of them burned. Like, all of them didn't burn up, right? Not only that, but they were supposed to have like a live broadcast of it. That didn't work either. But don't, you know, hey, Chicagoans cannot be beat. Now, although it was a kind of sort of fiasco, our wonderful Mayor Rahm Emanuel has said, gosh darn it, we will not be beaten. We will have a second annual Chicago Fire Festival next year, and gosh darn it, we will burn up something. So just in case you guys were very disappointed that, you know, the Great Chicago Fire Festival did not go off as planned, please understand that next year, this same time, same bad time, same bad channel, we will all gather at Lake Michigan. Make sure, put it on your calendar. I'm letting you know now. Join Rachel Montgomery and the Ultimate TV at the second annual Great Chicago Fire Festival on Lake Michigan. I'm just letting you know that's what it's going to be. And in the meantime, on your schedule, make sure that you guys join us at Ringling Brothers, because the mailbag has come around for us again, and we will be in attendance at this coming year's, the 2014 Ringling Brothers and Barnum & Bailey Circus Legend extravaganza. And I love the circus. You know, I love the circus, and I love the kids. And so we will be there trying to get tickets for you guys so that I won't be by myself and you don't have to pay, because free is me and me is we. So you know how that works. So last year we went. We had a great time. Probably in a couple of weeks you'll be able to see our interview on the Ultimate TV, which is on Chicago Access Network Channel 19. We'll probably try to get that up for you on YouTube, because we got so much action going on. It's hard for us to get stuff together. But anyways, that was in the mailbag as well. We also got a couple of movie screenings upcoming that we want to tell you about. But that's going to be up in the next break, because that's one of the reasons why I was late. Oh my God. So for all you guys who have been following me this week, you always know that I'm at the movies. Last week, we went to see Gone Girl. It was the advanced screening, of course, with Ben Affleck and Tyler Perry and Neil Patrick Harris and Rosamund Pike, who was with David Tennant. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I have to ask Susan, it's What I Did on My Summer Holiday? I think that's the name of it. Well, the last one that David Tennant had. Cute. Okay, so she was in that. This thing is awesome. So if you haven't seen it, it's still the number one. Technically, it was the number one movie for most of the week. So if you guys have not seen this movie, it is awesome. I'm ready to go see it again this week in our movie countdown, because it's Halloween-ish time. You know I don't like scary movies, but this one, Chris may have to hold my hand in this, because he keeps talking about it. It's Dracula Untold. Like, what is it left to tell about him? He's a guy, he's a vampire, he kills people, he sucks blood. What else is it? I'm not really sure. He's cute. I know that. I know that I know that just might get me to the movies, but I don't know. What I do have on the list though for this week is The Judge. Have you seen that? Dave, have you seen that one yet? Okay. That looks really, really good. It's with Robert Downey Jr. and Robert Duvall. I haven't seen Robert Downey Jr. in a lot of like intense drama type of movies. He's been doing the Iron Man thing and that kind of stuff for a while, but it's nice to see him in a different type of role. And anything with Robert Duvall is going to be awesome. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm not really sure about Addicted. I'm not a big Zane book reader, but my girlfriends are, because they like the erotic, you know, stuff, whatever. You know, like when you're a kid, like you're a teenager, you do like the romantic books, you know, Harlequin romance. See, they were doing that, right? I was reading like Nancy Drew, you know, I was so not into it. Anyways, so that is like, to me, that's like that. That's like the equivalent. Not saying that, you know, Zane is like Nancy Drew, but, her books are so hugely popular, and they have made one of her books a movie. It's called Addicted, and stars Boris Kojo. Fine, Boris Kojo. And he was in the movie Baggage claim, I do believe, with Robin Thicke's ex, soon to be ex, what? Paula Patton, you know she pulled the trigger. Dave, I forgot to tell you, guess what? Girlfriend has pulled the trigger on Robin Thicke. Okay, she does not have blurred lines anymore. She has what the standard line of relationships. There are irreconcilable differences. She just can't get over the hump. She said he got to go. I don't know what to tell you. And I guess Mariah's saying the same thing about Nick Cannon, because Nick Cannon, just in case you guys have been watching the internet, he had this long, big, huge tattoo. It says Mariah. It says Jesus now, because he went to the tattoo parlor. His whole back is full of the Lord. You hear me? He got rid of this woman. Now, if, you know, for whatever reason, if they make back up, do you go back and get can you get like a tattoo removed, you know, and put back? I mean, what do you say? Reclaimed? Or, you know, what do you do? That's crazy. But anyways, that's where I was going this week, just in case I was too afraid. And you know, because Chris's schedule is so crazy, he may not be able to take me to see Dracula, because, you know, I'm real scary anyway. But I was thinking Addicted. That might be good. I'll go see that with Boris Kojo, because I like him. Can't go wrong with Tyson Bedford. He's just awesome. He's really become a really great actor, which I didn't anticipate, because sometimes it is hard to make the jump from being a model to a really good actor, because, you know, sometimes people put you into projects and things. It doesn't mean that you're actually an actor or an actress. It's just something else that goes along with, you know what I mean? But he's done a fantastic job over the years. And because the book is so good, I'm extremely interested in going to see it. So that's on my list for movies before I hit the mailbag. Okay, so here's the deal. Every year, the Ultimate TV goes to certain events. And because we do movie reviews every year, and because we're always doing, you know, advanced screenings basically every month, if not every week, we are extremely excited to be going to the Chicago International Film Festival. It is one that it is a staple for us. And this year is not any different. The only difference is it is the Chicago International Film Festival's 50th anniversary. For 50 years, they have been giving us the best movies, not only Chicago locally or just in the country, but internationally, and through different themes as well. And so we're extremely excited to be going this year. They had a lot of great movies last year, and most of them had Benedict Cumberbatch in them. And he did a great job, you know, like 12 Years a Slave. A lot of that stuff won a lot of awards and things. He's back this year with a new movie called The Intimidation Game, which we're very excited about seeing at the International Film Festival. In addition to that, one of our favorite people, Gugu Mbatha-Raw, who, if you're a Doctor Who fan, that's Trish from Doctor Who, she is going to be given an award tonight, as a matter of fact, at the Chicago International Film Festival for her works. She's like the new emerging artist. And she's also going to be previewing her brand new movie called Beyond the Lights. Awesome. So awesome movie. It's just ridiculously great. Something that you want to see. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about this movie with Chris, because we've been really talking about this movie for some time. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Ultimate, and I'm Rachel Montgomery.
You're listening to The Ultimate Radio on Talk Zone Internet Radio with Rachel Montgomery. We'll be back in a minute.
Chris, you're not acting like a grown-up in our relationship.
M2.
There's your comic book collection, the race car bed.
I'm young at heart, but I put money into my 401k every paycheck. I'm taking control over my financial life, and that feels pretty grown up to me.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council. Do you miss the 10th Doctor? Are you wondering what David Tennant's been up to since he left WHO? Do you know about Grace Point, Broadchurch, what we did on our holidays? Well, if you don't, drop by the David Tennant News site, an unofficial news blog at david-tennant-news.com, and find out all that going on. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at DTForum. P.S. We also run the Peter Capaldi News at peter-capaldi-news.com for everything on the 12th Doctor. Both sites are run by the DT Forum, an independent company from fans to fans. We do not represent David Tennant or his management.
How to be a great dad in 15 seconds. Bike ride, go fish, walk in the park, phone call, milkshake, play catch, picnic, fly a kite, tell jokes, laugh, talk, read a story, tell a story, bumper car, swing set, bowling, pillow fight, cut loose, stay tight. Whew. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now, back to the Ultimate Radio on Talk Zone Internet Radio with Rachel Montgomery.
And you're back, and I'm Rachel Montgomery, and I am on my way to the movies. Woo-hoo! It's nothing better than having a wonderful seat at the theater and a nice bucket of popcorn and a soda. Sit back and be taken somewhere where we don't know. But the cinema is taking me somewhere, and this week, as a matter of fact, the 9th through the 23rd, if I'm not mistaken, in Chicago, you can see a zillion and one movies of all varieties at the Chicago International Film Festival, and the Ultimate TV will be in attendance. We go every year, and I'm so incredibly excited, not just because it is their 50th anniversary. It's because they get a chance to showcase a lot of new emergent artists right here from Chicago. And there's a lot of filmmakers here that came from Columbia College, my wonderful college, that are showcased. Hey, Dave, all right, woohoo. There are a lot of, you know, our guys from Columbia College that are showcasing their very first projects here at the Chicago International Film Festival. And it's wonderful to know that you can spend your creative time at a location and they will help you, foster you, and, you know, bring your dream to life. And that's the Chicago International Film Festival. And I just love it. Not only that, but I don't get a chance to see a lot of international films that I like, because my schedule is so busy. This is my opportunity to, in one place, see a lot of films from France and the UK. There's a couple things from Belize that I want to see too. And I can't wait because they have a wide variety and spectrum. Like, there's a certain films in the women's, film festival section I want to see. There's a couple of kid things I want to see too. But one thing we definitely want to see is a movie called Beyond the Lights, and it stars Gugu Mbatha-Raw. And for me and Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Dude, guess what?
Well, what's up?
Gugu is in town. Hey, hey. Trish made it. I am so excited. Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my best friend, Chris Bass. How you doing, dude?
Man, I am rolling. How are you?
For all the guests who are regular attendees of the Ultimate Doctor Who screening series, you guys know that Chris Bass is not only my best friend, but he is my co-host. And very, very often you hold my hand in scary movies, don't you?
I try to hold on to the rest of you, but you won't let me. But I've grown past that. And, you know, like I said before, we have our soda. We have our popcorn. With me, the soda falls on the floor.
Yes.
It gets me sticky and I can't walk a lot. But other than that, it's a fantastic experience.
And if it's too scary, the popcorn will go up in the air as well.
That's the most fun when you see that happen.
Well,
almost sometimes better than the movie itself.
Yes. Sometimes. Most definitely. So most people know that Chris and I, we are avid movie lovers as well as television lovers. And it's been quite some time since me and you have actually gone out to the movies. And because we're working, This is one place where we can go and really, as we would say, get our movie on. Am I right?
Very, very correct. You know, it's everybody's selective and territorial when it comes to certain places they go to, and rightfully so, because you want to have the best movie experience, and this is one of them.
Absolutely. And like last year, we talked about how many movies we saw at the Chicago International Film Festival that won, like, the Academy Award.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very seldom that you can really think that you can go and see an advanced screening, and this movie will be the top prize winner at the end of the year.
Well, you and I both know, Rachel, that it comes down to quality when it comes to movies. I think the Academy, for example, in Hollywood, have seen the light when it comes to certain projects, because you get tired of Hollywood, no offense, cranking out the same old crappy movies.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the theater-going public, when it comes to movies, are very tired of that. So they wander off to other styles and genres where they get, I think they get a more of an experience, a great storytelling,
right,
a different style of writing, and the audience appreciates that.
And not only that, too, but you get a chance to experience a different type of maybe shooting style. Because, I mean,
yes,
it seems like in a lot of these movies, it was like for example, the conversation we're having right now regarding movies is, am I right, in as much as we love Marvel Comics and DC Comics, I'm thinking that this has now become a tired formula, that every movie has got to be an action adventure movie of some type from a comic book. I mean, whatever happened to just a relationship type of movie? It doesn't have to be a chick flick. Like, for example, like The Judge. I'm excited about seeing that because it's a relationship movie. You know what I mean?
Correct.
I mean, not saying, hey, I like Transformers like the best of them. You know,
yeah,
the Avengers, bring it. I'm looking forward to Batman and Superman, really, okay?
Right, same here.
But at the same time, there needs to be some, you know, variety, I'm thinking. Because, okay, let's face it. Did you really think that 12 Years a Slave last year would win? I didn't see
honestly,
it coming.
No, honestly, no. I was completely transparent with you. I did not think it would do well in the awards. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. And that's because I was thinking of the formula, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I did see it at the Chicago International Film Festival. Remember, and I told you I was just blown away.
Yes.
And same thing about the Intimidation Game with Benedict Cumberbatch. This guy, where did he come from? It's like Benedict Cumberbatch is like doing it in 3D.
Well, Hollywood has always been embraceable when it comes to British actors, whether it was Richard Burton before him and Sir Laurence Olivier before him. I mean, you know, before Richard Burton, you had these style of actors who really just bring a different approach to their roles. I mean, you know, I can even go as current at one point as Hugh Grant.
Yes.
If Hugh Grant, if Hugh Grant didn't screw up, I'm sorry, you know, go back to the day when he had that hooker whore
well,
in his car. I mean, he was on his way to being the next, I would dare say, Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
He was really on his way with that. But as you see, Hollywood no problem embracing this type of style of actors. Mm. And Cumberbatch, I put him up there with the people I just mentioned.
Well, it's a bunch of us that, you know, feel the same way because, you know, ever since, not saying that, you know, before last year, he didn't have great works because he didn't. Because one of the things I had seen him in was from the National Theater where he had done the role of Frankenstein. Oh, my
yes.
God.
You were telling me about that.
Woo,
yeah.
Baby, if you can ever get a chance, I will, you know what, I will pay for you to see that, because
oh,
that
yeah,
was just ridiculously great.
But on your recommendation, I'm looking forward to seeing it.
It was great. It was fantastic. And, I mean, not only that, like from the both of us, we're extremely familiar with his work through Sherlock. But to see him from a theatrical point of view, it was just unbelievable. And that's one of the reasons why I like going to the festival, because people who you may not know about, they may be in some upcoming film that may be the breakout role for them, and we get a chance ahead of time to see that. And so that's a wonderful thing to be able to be involved in. I mean, because most of the times, like we're always talking about, movies, like the screenings are either in L.A. or New York. They're never here in Chicago.
Well, they should. I mean, you know, we know because the business, and people know by now because it's the East Coast, West Coast thing. But
still,
as far as
the, we still got the East Coast, West Coast. It's not rap, dude.
No. From the standpoint of Hollywood doing their appearances and big PR events, because, you know, we understand that. But I think you can't discount out the Midwest, because the Midwest has always provided you at the same time. Well, look, for example, what's happened in the past, say, 20, 25 years? A lot of movies have been filmed out here because it's given revenue not only to the state, it's given jobs to people.
Yes.
And the city itself, just being pro our own here in Chicago, our city looks great on film.
Yes.
They, no matter what, we go back to the Blues Brothers, the Batman series.
Oh, my God, the Batman series, yes.
I mean, you know, alone, where it doubled, of course, at Gotham City, and the city itself is like its own character.
Mm-hmm.
So they have done a magnificent job of bringing jobs here to the city and beyond, and it shows you that the architectural and the history that this city has can really double and backdrop as whatever city that you want to as a director.
And that's one of the reasons why I think we film so much here. Because, I mean, not only do we have extraordinary talent, I mean, because, yeah, we have like Broadway, you know, in Chicago where the actual, you know, Broadway run movies, you know, play here. But we, like with the Steppenwolf Theater and the Good Men, I mean, we have so many Second City.
Oh, my God.
Jesus. I mean, if you were not in L.A. and if you wanted to be an actor or an actress, why would you not be in Chicago?
But you have to know your history. I mean, for example, Saturday Night Live was built on Second City.
Yes.
As you know, actors like Gary Sinise and, you know, those guys, you know, had come from Steppenwolf. So what I'm saying is, if you didn't know your acting history, you wouldn't know where these people come from. You should just, of course, check out their bios of where they come from. Lauren Metcalf.
Yes.
Who was years on, was it, a Roseanne's program playing her sister.
Absolutely.
She comes from Steppenwolf. So, you know, you see these plethora of actors over the years who have shown their mettle because they cut their teeth in Chicago. And for Steppenwolf to come out of, as I read most of a long time ago, somebody's garage at one point, to go from that to where they've, I mean, it's just, you know what?
Yeah, it's amazing.
It goes back to what I said about quality.
Yeah.
Quality will win overall.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, anytime that we can bang the drum for the Chicago International Film Festival, we do that. Because it's not just that. It's also, they also have a separate International Film Festival for children. I mean, where else in Chicago do you have that? I mean, it's just, I mean, not saying we want to not bang the drum for Chicago, but Chicago is awesome. I don't think you can go anywhere else and have that kind of variety when it comes down to entertainment.
And I agree, because what Chicago provides is the balance between New York and L.A.
Yes.
And it has its own voice, and it has its own way of representation, and it's done great over the years. I think we also would be amiss had we not give credit for the late movie critic Roger Ebert.
Yes, yes, most definitely.
Roger was such a staunch proponent of Chicago and Illinois, and through his work being a national figure, he was able to help, I believe, change the landscape of how people started to view movies.
Not only that, but I think he enhanced their appreciation of it.
And fandom as well.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, him and Gene Siskel.
Oh, my, they were born to each other.
And they, when we're talking about reality TV, other than The Real World, every week, you did not know what was getting ready to jump off with them, because, you know, they loved movies so much and they were so passionate about the themes that you could not help getting wrapped up in what they viewed. And the fact that we were able to view cinematic quality work through their eyes, although they did have both different opinions, it was just awesome. And it was real, and it was something that you could believe in, whereas now, well, you know, somebody could be on the payroll, extra, and access, and whatever.
You know how it is, you know. And just to give a quick history, you know, you and I both know, growing up here in Chicago, it started on PBS.
Yes.
They did a show called Sneak Previews, and that was the name of the show, and it propelled them to go from PBS to syndicated television, but they started on PBS locally here in Chicago on Channel 11, and they were able to give you that opinion, raw emotion, technical end as well. And those arguments were real. There's no offense to what they're doing right now, but it's all, you know, so-called reality show like yeah. they're crap. This was the real deal.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to come back and talk about some reality news because I want to hit you with one thing real quick because I know you
sure.
love NeNe Leakes.
No, I don't.
And we'll be right back with Chris Bass. You're listening to The Ultimate with Rachel Montgomery.
You're listening to The Ultimate Radio on Talk Zone Internet Radio with Rachel Montgomery. We'll be back in a minute.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Dear John, I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is serious, and I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to when you checked on me? I don't want to leave, but remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range today. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Do you miss the 10th Doctor? Are you wondering what David Tennant's been up to since he left WHO? Do you know about Grace Point, Broadchurch, what we did on our holidays? Well, if you don't, drop by the David Tennant News site, an unofficial news blog at david-tennant-news.com, and find out all that going on. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook at DTForum. P.S. We also run the Peter Capaldi News at peter-capaldi-news.com for everything on the 12th Doctor. Both sites are run by the DT Forum, an independent company, from fans to fans. We do not represent David Tennant or his management.
The Ultimate TV is a member of the iTex trading community. Your iTex dollars are welcome.
And now, back to the Ultimate Radio on Talk Zone Internet Radio with Rachel Montgomery.
And you're back with me and my best bud, Chris Bass. Hey, dude.
Hey, you're my best bud as well.
Hey. Now, it's been quite some time since we've spoken, but I just want to let you know that your friend, NeNe Leakes.
Okay, back up.
You know you love her and the housewives of Atlanta and whatever it is.
Now, only because you're my best friend, you try to sneak in a couple of things on me. You and I both know that I do not care for Ms.
No
Leakes. No, I don't really care for the woman. I'm sure she's a nice person.
Well, see.
I'm sure she's very nice in person, but I can't take, no. She's, you know what? She damn near jumped the shark for me with Dance with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
Remember she was all last season doing that?
Oh, my God.
That ghetto, crap, you know, when she used to dance back in the day. I mean, it ruined it for me.
But you have to say she was a better performer than Master P. Hello?
Anybody is a better performer than Master P.
Well, what about Tavis Smiley?
Tavis Smiley's a joke. He doesn't even like this. Tavis Smiley is an embarrassment to people who can't dance.
Stop it.
He doesn't even have two left feet.
But you know what? At least he put on the dancing shoes, unlike Master P, who refused. So in that aspect, we do have to give him some credit.
I don't give Tavis nothing. Tavis Smiles a rat bastard.
Stop it!
He should never get on the show.
Stop it! Stop it! You're just so wrong. Stop it!
Look, it's true.
The only reason why I brought NeNe up is because I was in the mailbag and I got something that said the following, which threw me off. Because one, you know, I'm not really cool with reality TV shows. But anyways, okay.
All right.
You ready for this one?
Yes, I'm ready.
NeNe is the highest paid reality show star in America. She just booked a deal. Are you ready for an estimated, you ready? $1.5 million dollars. Without a shoe contract, okay? Without a perfume deal, okay? Without a hair care, whatever it was. 1.5 boo. Do. How do you do that? How is that done?
Well, Rachel, I'll tell you, and I told you before in our past conversations off air, you have to give credit to her agency.
Yes.
She has, well, I don't know who, I think some representation out of Los Angeles, but whoever her L.A. representatives are, they
Stand
give
up.
Credit.
Stand
because
up.
They were the ones that were able to take something, I mean, nothing, and made it into something.
Yes, God.
They were the ones that got her onto Glee. They're the ones that got her to do the new normal on NBC, but that was canceled. They have taken all the leaps and bounds to take her from that universe of reality shows and made her legitimate.
Well, you can say that same thing about Kim Kardashian, couldn't you?
Oh, of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, if you can find something marketable to somebody, of course, and find a way for it for people to gravitate towards and make it a dollar amount, then of course I give credit to the management. And whoever her management team is, they get whatever percentage they get, they deserve a raise.
But you know what? And that goes back to quality performing, you know, a quality acting. And when you think about what the next step is, you know, how do you take somebody who's a nobody, if you will, and you transform them into, you know, Audrey Hepburn, if you will. And that's one of those rags to riches story. I'm not saying that's where we're going with it, but it seems like that's where it's going. It's like, you know, instant fame, you know, you know, have a reality show and then it leads to something else and then you become a star. But that doesn't really mean you're a star. But she's the kind of person will have her hand and fingerprints on the Walk of Fame.
Oh, yeah, she has money to pay for it. You can pay for those nowadays.
You know, I did hear you could pay for it.
Mm-hmm. You can pay for it.
But I tell you what you can't pay for.
What's
that? We cannot pay for your broadcast if you are late for your radio show because, you know, here's the deal. I just want to confirm with you on air that you will be with me at the Ultimate Doctor Who screening series at the end of the month at Columbia College so that we can get our Doctor Who back on because it's been, what, a year almost? We stayed off because of Peter Capaldi. Am I right?
Correct, yes.
We did not want to go on until he came on. So he's been on. We're in the middle part of the season. Am I right?
Correct.
I have been enjoying Peter Capaldi. You?
It's the doctor I've been waiting for.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Hands down.
Yeah.
Hands down. As a fan from the classic series to the reboot to where we are now, I've always wanted to see him in this light,
mm-hmm.
or darkness, as they say. I think Peter is nailing it. I think as the show goes along with better script writing, now I think the writers get a feel, of course, for this past season, what they're dealing with. I think it can only get better. Now, he's been chopped up online because
it really
goes down the pike because I think it's either you like him or you don't. There's no middle ground with him. But I enjoy him. I think he's irreverent. I think he's questionable, which I like about him too. Because my thing is, it's like when you think you know somebody, then you turn around and do something questionable like he's been doing in a few episodes. Nothing wrong with that. And people forget, of course, that he's alien.
Well, he's definitely alien now.
Yes.
Most definitely. And if I'm not mistaken, do I have my friend Susan on the line? Because I think, Susan, you're more of a Peter Capaldi news person, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Rachel. I love Peter. It's great.
So the last thing Chris and I had discussed was now since we're in the middle of the eighth season for Doctor Who, right?
Yes.
And now all of the hoopla about, you know, oh, we don't know what kind of doctor he's going to be and he's old and he can't run and all this kind of thing. On your end, what has now been the reception of Peter Capaldi?
Oh, at our end in the UK, he's really had a very positive reception. Everybody loves him. A lot of people can see him as a balance between the new stuff, the old stuff. He's a little bit more alien. It's all about his funky character.
Yes.
He's not exactly polite with everybody, and he's irreverent. And everybody loves him, and he's got a cool suit.
And you know what? What I also realize is, I don't know if it's because it's a different doctor with a different tone, but I like the way Clara is now being presented. I'm starting to like her, and I didn't anticipate that.
Yeah, I think it's been a really positive reception for Clara, because Clara is now, she's got a personality, and she's got an attitude, and she's got, she's not putting up with anything from the man, is she?
Now, Chris, on your end, from where you sit in your sector, how is she being received, and how do you think that the American audience now is receiving Doctor Who?
I think that they're now warming up to her. I think they're seeing a different side of her, with her having more responsibility, being with a new doctor, new personality. She, at the time we first saw it in the first part of the season, how can she work with him? How can she get along?
Right.
She's questioning the fact of him being a good man. So all these things coming up to play is building character in this companion, which I think is now more receptive. People really get her now.
Most definitely. And one thing I also noticed, too, is that to bring in Samuel Anderson, it makes her character richer, because it's like she's becoming more of a independent, more independent person with him than with the doctor. You know what I mean? And so I think from a relationship point of view, I think that all three of them really work well together. And I'm really starting to get really excited about how this thing is going to end. And who is Missy? And what is this promised land, Susan? What's going on with that?
Well, I think that's the big arc through this season. And certainly Missy is going to play a prominent role in the last two episodes of the season, 11 and 12. Mm. I mean, she's front and center there. You may or may not know Capaldi's co-star is from In the Thick of It, which is a series that he was in, is also part of Missy's crew there. Mm-hmm. She was in the last appearance there. I don't know. She's certainly picking people up just before they die, or how are they already dead? That's an interesting question that's on the table, isn't it?
Yeah, because I'm like, is she a scavenger she's the dead scavenging company now?
Seems that way, but I mean, we do know that episode 11 and 12 are about Cybermen. Maybe there's something going on there. We know that there's going to be London involved. We know that, what else do we know about episode 11 and 12. Kate Stewart is back.
Oh, yeah.
And Oswald's back in that episode. Not much more do we know, but certainly it's a big going to be a big two-parter, and from all evidence, a big extravaganza.
Well, I think Chris and I will definitely be in the big chair with our popcorn. Am I right?
Absolutely.
And I do believe we'll be singing I'm My Own Grandpa. Am I right? Because I'm trying to figure out. Well, because it seemed like Danny Pink might be. Is he the doctor?
Oh, no.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? I mean, something wrong in the Land of Oz, because the little man, you know, come on now.
You mean the soldier going back?
Yeah. Let's
see.
Start singing, Chris. Start singing. I'm my own grandpa. Come on. and if it's not her, if it's not Danny, I'm telling you, do not be surprised if Clara is Missy. Something. I'm just feeling it, and my spidey senses is up. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
So, Chris, hit the tape. That's my song. I'm going to look at you and say, Q, we're going to start singing I'm My Own Grandpa, if that's the way it ends up, and then you owe me $10 in a pizza. That's my story.
Why are you going to put me into this I have to pay you situation?
Because.
Don't you understand I'm broke? I'm a broke man.
That's why we're on radio.
I know. You're going to try to put me up on radio, try to front me off.
That's right.
Lovely people.
That's right.
As long as no one has to sing, okay, Rachel?
You know what? You know what? I love the both of you all. And that's why we're going to break. Chris, thank you so very much for coming on The Ultimate.
Oh, you are so welcome.
Now, in approximately 15 minutes, where can people find you, my friend?
You can find me. Go to Facebook.com, Chris Bass, C-H-R-I-S-B as in broadcasting, A-S-E. And we'll take it from there.
And not only that, but you can see Chris with me at the end of the month at the Chicago, Columbia College Chicago for our Ultimate Doctor Who screening series, where we will talk the Eighth Doctor and our Halloween special. Hey, hey. And I'll try to get go. Chris in costume.
No.
Thank you so very much for Chris for coming. Thank you so much. Susan, hold on the line. We'll be right back. Hey, guys, you're listening to The Ultimate, and I'm Rachel Montgomery.
You're listening to The Ultimate Radio on Talk Zone Internet Radio with Rachel Montgomery. We'll be back in a minute.
We are your pets, and this song's dedicated to those people who don't have health insurance yet.
Enroll, we say. We want you to be okay. Enroll, we say. Take care, people, for goodness sake.
Health insurance is now affordable and covers prescriptions, hospitalizations, and preventive care. Visit GetCoveredAmerica.org to learn more.
And take care, people!
Brought to you by Get Covered America and the Ad Council.
Hey, what's up? Holla at ya, boy. XOXOXO. You getting these texts? Question mark. Where are you? What are you doing? OMG, you are making me mad. You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio. Take one.
Behold the angry giant.
Try it again, Alberto.
Behold the angry giant.
Perfect. Good luck tonight.
Behold the angry giant.
Yay! Read me another one, Dad.
This is WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And now, back to The Ultimate Radio on Talk Zone Internet Radio with Rachel Montgomery.
And you're back, and I'm Rachel Montgomery, and I am here in the big chair with my wonderful friend, Susan Hewitt from DT Forum.
Hi, Rachel. How are you doing?
Have you recovered from last night?
Oh, that was a great episode, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so for everyone who hasn't been listening to The Ultimate, we have been just enthralled with Grace Point on Fox, which is the 10-part murder mystery drama, starring David Tennant and Anna Gunn. And last night, everything has started to unravel. And so for people who have actually, you know what? Okay, I'm not. I promise, Dave, I was not going to give spoilers. But so far, we've been really good. But last night, things have started to unravel. And the last couple of weeks, we have been getting the basis of this murder mystery. And information about the family has started to come out, and some of the neighborhood people have started to come out, other than the lady with the creepy dog, right, and the creepy pastor from last week, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we have been asking everyone to watch Grace Point, take notes every week, and then go on suspecteveryone.com, right? And make your choice as to who you think killed Danny. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, so last time I looked, it looks like the father jumped up in the ratings. I wonder why.
I don't know.
Last night was good, wasn't it?
It was great. Oh. Everything happened last night.
Okay.
Certainly changed. It changed from a grief thing to, okay, now we're in the thick of it.
And this is early on in the show. And that was really surprising. I mean, they really, really got into it really quickly.
So, evidently, yeah, right away.
Yeah. So my thing is, now since everyone has started to really get comfortable and get into what Grace Point is really about, do you think that, you know, by the time this thing comes to an end, it'll be a frenzy?
I'm hoping so, because I'm really hoping that the ratings last night weren't the best. They were a little bit down from the last week before, but I mean, it went down a little bit in the UK. It didn't start going into a frenzy until about the fourth or fifth episode. So I'm expecting it to catch up and keep going.
Yeah.
Essentially, more and more clues come out and it turns into everybody looking, who did it? Who might have done it? What thread's going on? Because it's not just the murder threads that get exposed. It's everybody's personal life that gets exposed all over the place. So as they're investigating who might have killed the young boy, everybody's personal secrets get exposed, and it sort of becomes more of a big mystery overall.
Yeah, and one thing I just want to let everyone know, just in case you still have it in your mind, this week is the last week where you can say, well, it looks like Broadchurch.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely. I mean, you and I cannot really reveal spoilers.
No, because Dave will kill us. Dave will definitely kill me in studio if I do, most definitely.
But it certainly starts deviating from here now a lot more.
It takes a serious left. And I've been, you know, going on Twitter and Facebook, and a lot of people are really giving it a chance. And I want to thank everyone so much for tuning in. And I know we won't mention it, but we know what type of Thursday it is on the competing networks. We understand that. But trust me when I tell you, this is a great drama, seriously. And if you want to have a second choice, or if you don't have a choice right now, please watch Grace Point. Because if you did enjoy Broadchurch, if you really, really liked it, give Grace Point a chance, because after last week, it's taken a serious left and you're going on a ride you did not anticipate being on, seriously.
Well, even if you didn't watch Broadchurch, it's a brilliant series all around. It's just... It captivates you. It's a mystery that you want to know what happens next.
Well, not only that, it seems like the acting is getting better too.
Yeah, it got, I mean, there was a real step up in this second episode with the acting. And certainly I was more convinced by Virginia Cole
and
in this episode than I was in the previous one. She certainly became more real, as opposed to, she was certainly out there on the first one, but this one, her emotions were certainly rawer and played more subtly but more open.
And her take on the character is a lot different than what you saw in Broadchurch. It's the same character, but it's their approach. I felt like it was different. Even that whole scene with her and the minister. It was different than the one that we saw with Arthur Darville.
Oh, most definitely. That was an entirely different thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, certainly there's a history and a background between Mark Solano, Beth, and Paul Coates, which didn't exist in the previous version of this Broadchurch. So there's another point that's going off on a different tangent. The boy has been killed in a different way. There's a family a friend relationship or a history between those three characters. The minister is a lot different.
And it seems too like the relationships are different. The only thing that I question, what's going on with Grandma in the background?
Grandma seems, which one of the grandma?
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. Beth's mother seems a bit odd, doesn't she?
And I didn't. Maybe it's me, or maybe it's the way that it was portrayed. But I feel like I'm more aware this time in Grace Point than I was in Broadchurch.
Oh yeah, but I think the other thing is that it certainly felt like Grandma was trying to push Beth more towards the minister anyway. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Maybe one on there.
and I never got that, you know, impression other than maybe they were, you know, childhood friends or whatever. It's a whole different take on that. And I was like, wow, that's pretty, well, he's creepy anyway, but that's
yeah.
Yeah. And not only that too, but, it seems to me that David Tennant's acting is different too. That whole scene where he, you know, gets kind of flustered and he spills the coffee and he has to give himself an injection.
Yeah.
That was different too.
Almost definitely.
Yeah, that was totally different. And you know what I noticed too? I noticed on social media that everybody started to have conversations about like diabetes and, you know, different type of ailments that he could have because of the way he had his injection and the way that he had the reaction, the medical reaction to that. I don't remember so much being in London. I don't remember that being a parallel.
Well, I think it was certainly a lot more subtle than the way before. It didn't come up until, I don't know, fifth episode or so as much. He had an incident in the second episode in Broadchurch, but it wasn't as clear. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this character is certainly a lot more harsh and less empathetic and, more rude and as a friend of mine says, he's a miserable, something you can't say.
Well, one thing that we definitely know is that he doesn't like beans in his burrito.
He doesn't like beans. Yeah. Why doesn't he like beans in the burrito?
You know what? Beans. That became a thing on Twitter. And so this goes back to what I tell everybody every week. Please watch Broadchurch. I'm sorry. Please watch Grace Point on Fox Thursdays at 8. Take notes because everything after episode 2 changes. It goes to the left. You can always go to suspecteveryone.com and then make your predictions. Right now, I'm still going with the crazy lady with the dog. I'm a little leaning towards the dad now this week. I have to go back and rewatch it because, you know, Dave, he hasn't watched it yet. So when I watch it with Dave, he may give me some extra, you know, points. I will be talking to you, Susan, next week about who you put on the list new. And is there anything that you want to tell us about next week's episode?
Next week's episode. Well, I think, Mark is in hot waters right now.
You think?
Certainly he's on the radar and, certainly there's also the hiker that everybody's noticed from Jack Reinhold. Is that guy real or not?
Yes.
Sort of we want to know what the history is between the Salernos and Coates and what about the money and the drugs? Did we get the full story there?
Well, I'm pretty sure that when we watch Grace Point this coming week, we'll get the scoop. And I appreciate the fact that you came on board and talked Grace Point with me. Thank you so much, Susan, for coming on The Ultimate this week.
Oh, thank you, Rachel. You take care.
You too. And thank everybody else for coming on board with The Ultimate. I am Rachel Montgomery. And if you want to get in contact with us, you can always go to www.theultimatetv.com or Facebook us, The Ultimate TV. Have a great weekend. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Ultimate Radio Program with Rachel Montgomery.
The miniskirt with the dirt.
On TalkZone Internet Radio. With all of the hot topics of the day, music and entertainment. Right here on TalkZone Internet Radio.
The Ultimate TV is a member of the iTex trading community. Your iTex dollars are welcome.